Hi, and welcome to the podcast, Aligned with Paige Schmidt, helping you to become the you want to be and feel calm while becoming her.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the podcast. It is early in the morning as I'm recording this. I am in the midst of my Miracle Mom morning, if you haven't listened to episode 23 yet on Miracle Mom mornings, and woke up. Let Abby out, gave her little brush her teeth, which is her little greenie that she gets each morning, made my coffee, and listened to my Bible this morning. I needed some encouragement right away, and now I am getting to work doing the podcast and focusing on just some things that really can help to move me forward, things that don't have excess, things that I can't do later in the day. And when I say excess, I mean things like just constantly checking email. I actually updated my email signature yesterday to say that Monday through Friday, I check email one time per day. So there is one main time that I go in through the day that I will sit down, go through everything, get my inbox to inbox zero, spend dedicated time answering people, really read their messages and thoughtfully respond. And then I have permission the rest of the day not to check email until tomorrow. And of course, there may be a scenario where I need to pop in and see if somebody has gotten back to me about something that needs to be done that day, but I don't feel required. I don't expect myself to go in and get my inbox all the way to inbox zero again. So there's just one time a day that I check email, and I put that in my email signature. And that feels very relevant today as we are talking about the joy in taking a social media break, because your email is just another form of being connected to your phone, right? So you've all heard of FOMO, fear of missing out. We're going to focus today on JOMO, the joy of missing out when taking a social media break. So I took my own social media break last year during COVID in 2020, the time where we were all tucked away in our homes and couldn't see any of our friends. And you might think that I am nuts for taking a social media break in that time when we already couldn't see people, but I still just had such a craving to do it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about where that desire came from, what that social media break looked like, and then I'm going to grab my phone and make sure that I can address or answer any questions that you may have or may not have sent in last night on Instagram. I actually haven't checked my Instagram since I posted and asked you all if you had any requests. So I'll just check in on that before we wrap up and make sure to get any questions answered. But what happened is we were in Mexico last year, 2020, March. We were with friends. We had the best time. And while I was there, my phone was just naturally tucked away most of the time. It felt so good. I pulled it out a few times to get some pictures. And other than that, I left it in the room and it felt so good. I was present with my friends. We had a blast. Anytime we're in Mexico with our friends, we wake up in the morning. Usually my friend Shannon has already set the coffee pot. And so wake up, there's coffee, there's all these mugs sitting out, there's chairs sitting together, and we just get to sit with friends, drink coffee, and talk. And it is my favorite thing in the whole world. You've probably heard me say this on the podcast before when I was talking about looking forward to Mexico, our Mexico trip this year. So coming home from Mexico, and like the last day before we came home, I remember us sitting by the pool and we were all on our phones because our friends were texting us that in the US, the grocery shelves were emptying, there was no toilet paper, there was no food left, right? There was gonna be nothing left for us to come home to. And we were just all sitting there like with our jaws dropped, like what is happening? and can we just stay here forever? We didn't want to leave our vacation spot. We were having such a good time. And so anyways, we got home. The day we got home, we ended up having to come home a day early. We were in lockdown where we live in San Luis Obispo, and I think California, I think most people were also in lockdown. So we got home the first day. So we stopped by the grocery store. I remember we bought such random things. Marco came out of Rite Aid with like dry packages of tuna that we never used, like little cups of Chef Boyardee. And I bought basically like rice and pasta. Those were the only things left. And we locked down hard. I remember not leaving the property where we left for like 4 weeks. I would leave to go for runs up and down the street. There's like a long canyon street that we lived on, and we did live on a beautiful property at this time. We lived on a friend's vineyard that had like 11 acres. And so I'd walk around the vineyard. I did a lot of just working, helping in the vineyard. So I got outside a lot, and it still ended up being a wonderful time. Saying that I didn't leave the property for 4 weeks sounds so intense, but I think parts of it were kind of lovely too. So in that time, social media became huge, right? Zoom, I know Zoom's not social media, but I mean, kind of, when we're connecting with people face-to-face on video, think of how many Zoom happy hours there were, or how many Zoom meetings you had. I even took all of my coaching sessions to video for anyone who wanted it. So I normally do coaching sessions with my clients, private clients, just on the phone, private phone calls. And I offered every single client to go on video because people were just craving to see each other. Well, that lasted for maybe a couple months, and social media was at an all-time high. And I will say there were a few weeks there where I was so, so, so grateful to social media, so grateful we could see what other people were doing in quarantine, and we were still connected, and we all had something to relate with one another to. And then it just got really intense, and felt like everybody was fighting all the time and yelling at each other, and it was really intense. And what I started noticing for myself was when I had conversations with people in real life, so in real life during this time would have been on the phone, but not texting, not direct messaging, not comments, but actually called people in my life and said, how do you feel about this? Can we talk about this? And I did that with an open mind. People were so much more understanding and kind and willing to talk and discuss things than I was seeing on social media. And about a couple months into quarantine, I found out I was pregnant. Marco and I had been trying to get pregnant for the previous 6 months, and I could not believe it. It was like I had seen so many negative tests, it felt like, that I just expected them to keep being negative. And I saw that positive, and I literally fell to the floor, dropped to my knees and put my hands up and said, thank you, God. Are you serious? Are you serious? And oh my gosh, makes me emotional talking about that. I still remember that moment and how in awe I felt. Well, in that moment, I knew, one, I had that thank you moment. My next thought was I thought of my mom, and my next thought was it's a girl. Next thought was everything's gonna be okay. I just had this overwhelming sense of everything will be okay. You do not need to worry about this, the pregnancy in Selah. So I just felt this supreme peace come over me. And I knew that I wanted to continue feeling that throughout my pregnancy. I didn't want to miss it. I knew it was my first pregnancy so far, my only pregnancy. And I wanted to be so present. during it. I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to feel calm. Well, fast forward a couple weeks into finding out that I was pregnant, I became so tired, like an ungodly amount of tired. Those first trimester tireds are so real. I'm talking, I actually slept through a consultation at one point. And I think this is the first opportunity that I'm getting to share this, but I was mortified. So I'll tell you what happened now, as it's been a year later and I can look back on it. If you guys know me or have ever worked with me, I have never, ever, ever missed a session. If I've ever been late, the maximum time is 1 minute, and it was for something very important. Like, I insanely, maybe too much value. If you listen to my Embracing Imperfection podcast, you know that I value having a completely quiet space, having my clients feel that they have my full attention. I'll even let them know when I'm taking notes. Just so you know, I'm taking notes. If you hear clicking, I am 100% listening to you. I'm not off browsing the internet. It's just so important to me that when someone is paying me for a session and it's over the phone, that they know they have my full attention. So, since, by the way, doing the Embracing Imperfection episode, I have let go of so much worry. I know, and my clients know, that they have my full attention all the time, no matter what. And I have let go of the worry that if Selah makes some noise in the background, that anybody is going to care, because I got so many of you and my clients writing in saying, well, first of all, I don't think I've ever heard her in the background of a podcast or coaching call, but even if I did, I would love that. It makes you seem more real and human, and how cute. I love babies, so I wouldn't mind. So I really appreciate that, you guys. That was so kind. And I felt so much more relaxed in showing up to my business, knowing that it's okay, right? It's a part of who I am now. I'm a mom, and there may be some background noise. I think we were talking about tired. So I was so, so tired. Oh yes, I was going to tell you the story about sleeping through it. So I'll tell you how that happened. So the tireds hit me so hard. Here's how my day would go. I, first of all, had to stop waking up early in the morning. I would wake up naturally, which was maybe around 6:30 or so. And I'd get up, I would try and eat something the second I got up, because if I even stood too long before eating, I would feel nauseous. And I'd try and eat a little snack, and then I would immediately change my clothes and get outside. Being outside and moving helped me feel better than anything else. So I'd leash Abby up, I'd get in my walking or running clothes, and I'd go for a slow jog or just a gentle walk. And even though I'd feel nauseous some of the time, it felt so much better than just sitting inside the house. Sitting inside the house was the hardest. So I'd come back, shower, and literally climb back in bed until my first session. So I'd climb back in bed, fall asleep, set my alarm for 20 minutes before my session so I could get up, feel awake, drink some water, wake myself up, sit down, look over my notes, and prep for the session. I'd have my session, and then if I had like 45 minutes before my next one, I would literally go and lay down and sleep again, even if it was just for 15 or 20 minutes. And that's how I went through my whole day. So on this particular day that I slept through my consultation, I hadn't told anybody that I was pregnant, so I couldn't even tell my potential client, I'm so sorry that I slept. I am pregnant. I guess I could have, but I didn't want to because I hadn't told anyone yet. So I told her a different truth, which was that I mismanaged my calendar, which was the first time ever that that had happened in my, must have been like 9 years of coaching. So I had a few client sessions. By the grace of God, during my client sessions, I always felt okay. I think it was that I was so focused on someone else that I almost forgot what it felt like to be in my own body, if that makes sense. So I had a few sessions. I knew I needed to take a nap. I knew I had a consultation coming in like maybe 2 hours. And so I had a good chunk of time to sleep, climbed in bed, set my alarm, woke up 30 to 45 minutes past the start of my consultation time. I had like 3 missed calls, 2 emails, text messages, voicemail, and all of this to say, hey, Paige, I thought we were supposed to be meeting. I was looking forward to talking with you. Can you call me back? When I woke up and I saw that my alarm was still going off, just at this point, it was going off silently, I was mortified. I hopped out of bed so fast. I splashed water on my face and I knew, okay, I've already slept through 45 minutes of this. She's not going to be able to reschedule. So I reached out immediately and said how sorry I was and that it was a Friday, that I didn't normally do sessions. Oh, hi, Abby. I didn't normally do sessions on Saturday, but that I would be happy to do a Saturday session with her. And we did. We booked a Saturday session, had a great call. Everything was okay. But that is how tired I was. It was the most impossible tired I have ever, ever, ever felt. So after experiencing a couple weeks of, or maybe even just a week or a few days, I knew pretty quickly to when I started feeling that tired that I needed to get off Instagram. And here's why. I did not and could not afford, like, in any sense of the word, to lay down and scroll my phone in the time that I needed to be napping, right? I was feeling sick, so I needed that sleep, and I needed to be able to keep working. There were many needs happening, and I didn't want Instagram to get in the way, but I was terrified to stop using Instagram because I have an online business, and how I connect with most of you, at that point, I didn't have my podcast. So how I was connecting with most of you at that time was either through my blog or my weekly emails or Instagram. And I thought Instagram was a huge part of my success. And so I worried if I let this go, especially like in this time of COVID where everybody's already unsure of what's happening with their finances. My business actually was able to thrive during COVID, but there was always that wonder, that curiosity in the back of my mind, like, is this going to keep thriving? Is this going to be okay? Right? Nobody knew. And so I was afraid to stop Instagram. I thought, what if this is like the worst decision I've ever made for my business? But it felt so important that I gave myself permission to do it anyways. And the way I gave myself permission was by approaching it like an experiment. So I told myself, do a post that says you're going to be gone for 2 weeks. During those 2 weeks, be gone completely. Like, don't open the app, completely delete it from your phone. Don't log on at all. And then I had my assistant, Abigail, going on like a couple times a week, checking my direct messages. And if anybody had written in, I just had her send them a note saying Paige is off Instagram right now. If you want to connect with her, you can email her here. So just so nobody would think I was just completely ignoring them. I never want anyone to feel that way. So took 2 weeks off, gave myself permission in that way. Oh, and I told myself the experiment was, let's just see if this frees up my creative energy that I've been putting into Instagram to write deeper emails and connect more with people via emails or my blog. And so that was the experiment. And side note, let me just tell you guys, not one bad thing happened to my business in those 3 months. In fact, I remember telling a friend, I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I feel like more clients are signing up now that I'm off Instagram, and they're the best clients ever. They're my exact ideal audience. Exactly the woman who I want to work with. And I was loving it. And I felt so much more creative energy being off Instagram. because my mental space was so free. So just like I talk about with food and money, one of the main reasons that I want to help you feel calm around food and money is so that you have the mental space and capacity to focus on the things in your life that are most important to you. I don't want food worry and money worry to be soaking up so much of your energy that it's making you go into your life depressed and anxious and worried and negative and short-fused, right? We want to clear that up and help you feel calm and have more trust in yourself and the plan for your life and all of that in those two areas so that you can show up to your kids and really play with them when you're playing. So you can look at your husband or your spouse and give them a kiss when they get home and feel positive and cook dinner and enjoy it. So you can be in a walk and be feeling filled up instead of in overthinking and filled with worry about how much money you have or what you should or shouldn't eat today. That is the purpose behind me wanting to help you feel calm around food and money, so that you can really live a life that feels good to you, one that is in alignment with who you want to be. So I took this break, and just like feeling calm with food and money, it was like I felt calm with the online world. And what that meant was I got to have intentional conversation. So if you think about it, you hop on Instagram, you're scrolling, what do you see? You see a happy post, you see an influencer post, you see a normal person post from your friends and family, you see a sad post, then you see someone's post that looks like this just perfect family vacation and they have the perfect outfit and the perfect house. And then you see someone struggling in another country and someone volunteering or whatever. You see so many different things as you scroll through that it's taking your emotions on this insane roller coaster ride where you end and you end your session of being on Instagram and you don't feel refreshed. You don't feel refreshed. You feel maybe like you got to check out for half an hour. Maybe that felt kind of good, like you wanted to check out. You've been doing all day and you just want to chill and kind of turn your mind off. It kind of does that, but it kind of doesn't. I want you to ask yourself the next time you're on Instagram, when you sign off or Facebook or whatever is your social media platform that you go to right now, and just ask yourself, how do I feel? Did this give me joy? Did this bring me joy? And just be curious with yourself about that, because what I noticed for myself is it was not bringing me joy, and I needed to use my lay down, quiet time in between sessions to disconnect. I needed to sleep, and it was essential at that time. So I took my 2 weeks off, and after 2 weeks, I remember that following Monday coming up again, and I remember saying to a friend, I don't want to go back on. Like, no part of me is ready to go back on. I feel so peaceful just being in my life right now and not even thinking about my phone hardly ever. Right? Just like with email, how I check in once a day, instead of having my phone with me all day long and just checking Instagram, checking text messages all day long, I started to naturally get into this habit of I'd leave my phone away for big chunks of time, just naturally. It felt easy. And then I'd check my texts all at once. And then I'd leave my phone again and go and be in my normal life again. And again, this wasn't like crazy normal lifetime. This was like not leaving the house very much, hardly seeing anyone. If we did, it was 6 feet apart. It wasn't like I was getting tons of social connection, and so I didn't need it from Instagram. I was getting virtually no social connection and felt that good still leaving Instagram behind. So I updated, I had Abigail, my assistant, update the date on Instagram to 2 more weeks. And I gave myself permission to be off for another 2 weeks and just continue the experiment, continue making sure, okay, will I get clients? Yes, I'm still getting clients. Okay, this is okay. Am I still connecting with people? Yes, I'm deeply connecting with people. I remember I would wake up, I'd pour myself a decaf coffee, I'd step out into the vineyard, I'd watch Abby run around for a moment while I had a few sips of coffee, I'd come back in, I'd light a candle, turn on my worship music, read my Bible, do my journal, and I'd feel so filled up. And then the next thing I would do is open up just a blank document on my computer. And I always started that feeling so inspired, so connected to all of you. Whenever I write, I feel connected to all of you. I'm trying to speak directly to you from me and my heart. And so I started writing, and I would send those things out in email or via blog post. And it was so cool to see how coming from that creative energy allowed me to still connect so deeply with you, if not more deeply with you. And I just continued to do that day after day, and the connection stayed high, and people would write in and ask me how my Instagram break was going, what I loved about it, tell me that they wanted to take one too, but how could they take one? Like, did I miss it? What habits did I practice so I wasn't tempted to go back on? Was I ever going to go back on? And I knew that I'd eventually one day go back on, because I knew, like, I don't hate Instagram. I love connecting with you there. What I don't like is the scroll. I don't like getting on and just scrolling through stories and then scrolling through the feed. That to me is the part that feels draining. Me getting to show up and share feels very fulfilling, and me getting to connect deeply with you in messages feels very fulfilling. So there's part of checking messages that feels a little task-like, where you're just seeing like if there's anything there and you have to get through it. The other part of it, though, is when somebody writes in and tells me, hey, I listened to your Miracle Mom Morning podcast and I had my first Miracle Mom Morning today. Here's what I did. That is so enriching to me. Those are the moments that I love with Instagram. Those moments are what I live for. That's why I tell you, if you listen to the podcast, send me a DM. I want to hear from you. Those are the moments that remind me, okay, there are good things. And getting to share and encourage others, I love that part. And I do love following. It's not like I'm saying, I just get to share and I love that part, but I don't like hearing from anyone else. That's not it. You guys know what I'm talking about when I talk about the endless scroll. It's not me seeing just the things that are meaningful and fulfilling and important. It's me seeing a few of those things plus everything else that comes along with that scroll. So instead, how I like to use Instagram now, go on, check my messages, share my content, and go to a few accounts that I know enrich me and that I love hearing from, and check a few of their posts. That's how I love to use it now. Sometimes I still get lost in the scroll, and whenever I do, I usually don't feel great afterwards. So I just try and be mindful of that. When my finger wants to start scrolling, I just kind of slow myself down and remind myself, like, this isn't going to be very fun. So it's not a rule, but it's my genuine experience. I know that when I do that, it's just not that fun or fulfilling. So I try and remind myself that. So Instagram hiatus, I continued to have my assistant every 2 weeks update the date that I was coming back. And I ended up doing this for a solid 3 months. And by the time I came back, I was excited to come back. I was excited to share content again. I was excited to connect with people. But I came back knowing that I wanted to have some new boundaries around Instagram. I didn't want it to be an all day long, just checking thing. I didn't want to feel the need to story every single thing throughout my day. I really wanted to have some solid boundaries. And I do feel like I did when I went back. I never felt the pressure to story every single second of the day and to let everybody know what I am doing. And by the way, being a business owner, who has an online business, you do feel, at least I do, some pressure to share all throughout the day, because I want you, the listener, my clients, to know that I can relate to you. I want you to trust me. So therefore, I want to show you parts of my life so that we can relate and connect in that way. but there's a balance between showing parts of my life and then feeling like I have to show all of my life and be constantly connected to my phone, right? So that balance is kind of tricky to find. But anyways, in the 3 months, it was so fulfilling. I would wake up each day, have that quiet time that I told you about, and just be in my life. I was off of Instagram during everything that was going on in 2020 that was so, so, so intense and emotional and hard. And so instead of being online and being so consumed by all of that and every second of every day reading the news and seeing what was happening, which would be so draining for me, I made it a point to have at least one conversation with someone in my life who I felt like was being impacted by what was going on in the world, and I'd have a conversation with them and ask them how they were doing, how they were feeling, and try and open up my own heart and perspectives and things like that instead. And I found that to be so much more rewarding and real and transformational than I did just being on Instagram and listening to the whole world shout, which is what it felt like. So that is what I did with that time. I worked on the vineyard, talked with friends on the phone. If we saw friends, we would do our front yard hangouts where we'd bring our lawn chairs and sit 6 feet apart from one another outside. I would read books. I would watch a favorite show at night. And the cool thing is, I even, as I got distance from my phone, found more balance with like Netflix. When I would watch a show, I'd watch one or two episodes and then go to bed. It was like I started to experience how good it felt to just rest and have tons of space in my life versus that scrolling, that, okay, I have an hour, I'm going to sit here on my phone. Like, just doesn't feel very good. I don't know if you're listening, do you feel the same? Do you feel like just that hour just doesn't feel great? There's something good that you're getting from it, though. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. And it might not be the good you want in your life, but it's that in-the-moment good. I compare it to if you go shopping and you impulsively buy a shirt, a new shirt that maybe you don't really want, but it was super exciting in the moment. That gave you a version of good. It gave you a version of excitement in the moment, but it might not be the good that you want. You may have a goal of not buying shirts like that in the moment, but instead you want to be really intentional and think about for at least a week what you really want to bring into your wardrobe, right? So might give you a little sense of good, might give you a little dopamine hit in the moment, but if it's not the good you ultimately want, if you don't want to keep repeating that, if it doesn't lead you to have the life and the feelings and be the kind of woman that you want to be, then it's really not the good that you want. So I'd watch a show or two or read a book or sit outside. I did a lot of just sitting outside. I'd pull a chair out, no phone, just a cup of tea, decaf coffee, some water. I was pregnant at the time, so no wine or anything like that. And I'd watch Abby play, or I'd read, or I'd listen to my Bible, or just, I really didn't do like a ton of online stuff. It was just the stuff that was right in front of me, and it allowed me to feel so calm and good. I'd create content. We'd go for walks. There was just such an absence of noise, external noise in my life, and that felt so, so good. So let me, for a moment, grab my phone. I don't even have it sitting next to me. This has become more of a habit. Have my phone. I'm going to open up Instagram. And I'm going to see what you guys sent in. Okay, there are a few questions and topic requests here. Oh, Instagram does this thing now where it makes it very hard for me to see what questions you send in. I have to go through the notifications because there's like something about it that doesn't work anymore. So anyways, first one, did the hiatus have a positive impact on your relationship? So I'm assuming you mean my relationship with Marco. Did it? Yes, I would say it did because I felt more calm and positive just in general, overall as a person. I wasn't stuck at all whatsoever in any type of comparison trap. In my business, for example, which my business does take up a lot of brain space for me, and I'm working on finding a balance with that. But I felt positive, really positive in my business. I felt very full because there wasn't a ton of external noise around it. So if you own a business, I feel like you probably get a sense of what I'm talking about. But it definitely left me feeling more creative, more positive, more optimistic, more energized. And then just in my day-to-day, there was lack of comparison. There was a lack of what I call need energy, just constantly needing. I talked in a recent episode about wanting, being stuck in the land of wanting. Or maybe I talked about this in Shed, my online course in Aligned Coaching. We talked about not getting stuck in the land of wanting, but instead really identifying what you really want, figuring out why it's important to you, and then moving forward in action toward your want instead of just wanting, 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 thinking, contemplating, ruminating, all of that. So I think in effect to not having all of that overthinking and comparison and needing and wanting and needing more and not having enough and all of that that I think Instagram can truly cause, I was a much happier person. So yes, it benefited my relationship because I got to show up as the best version of myself. The next question was, how do you know when or if you should come back? Try what I did. Give yourself a short period of time at first, 2 weeks. Post something saying you're going to be gone so that you're announcing that you are disconnecting. And if you don't have an assistant to be checking your DMs, don't worry about it. If you do your post on your feed saying you'll be gone, just let people know where they can find you if they really want to get a hold of you so they can email you or call you, that kind of thing. And that will be plenty. So just to make sure I've answered the question, how do you know if you want to come back? Honestly, just take it one day at a time, one step at a time. And if it's feeling good for you today to stay off, let that be enough for today. You don't have to. I think a lot of times we can get into that black and white mentality where it's like we need the extreme because that's what's most exciting. So it's like, am I going off Instagram forever or am I going to be on forever, right? And we need to know the final destination. Let go of needing to know the final destination and just take a break today or take a break for the next 2 weeks. See how that goes and then reassess when you get to the end of that 2 weeks. That is how, in my opinion, you will also probably stay off the longest. If you tell yourself you have to do 3 months, you'll probably come back sooner than 3 months because that feels like too big of a chunk at first. But if you tell yourself a week or 3 days or whatever short time period works for you, I bet you will end up going even longer than what you ultimately decided because you will know like this is feeling good. And yes, you guys, I had a lot more white space, a lot more downtime. I even had moments where I was like, I'm kind of bored. What should I do? But that was nice because it gave me space. I wasn't always being consumed by something or consuming something. And so just let those empty spaces be opportunities to discover what else you like to do. Maybe you can pick out your outfit for the next day, or you can watch your favorite movie from when you were a kid, or you can make some tea and read, or you can call a friend and catch up and focus 100% on her and how she is doing, or you can you know, volunteer for something, or, you know, and I'm not saying you have to go and do something good in the free time that you have. You do whatever you need to do. I'm just giving some ideas. There are other things that you can do, and being bored is okay because it will show you, it'll give you the opportunity to figure out what else you like to do instead of just being sucked into the gram. So next thing, tips to start and how to follow through. Tips to start, I think I covered this. Post on your feed. You're going to be gone. Say where people can contact you if they really want to get a hold of you. Say how long you'll be gone. And you don't have to do this. You can just get off. But I'm saying if you want a tip to start, I think that posting saying you're going to be gone is a good announcement, putting like a stake in the ground of here's what I'm doing. How to follow through, just one day at a time, and definitely, most definitely delete the app from your phone. And also use this as an opportunity just to have your phone tucked away in general. Stick your phone in your purse through the day. You can have a different ringtone for a phone call that you know you don't want to miss, like from your kids or your mom or your best friend or whatever it might be. Or you can put your phone on do not disturb and only have calls come through on your favorites and let them know, hey, I'm going to be stepping back from my phone a bit. If you need me, call me, because that's the only way my phone will ring. So using that as an opportunity to detach more from the phone. So next one says how to discipline yourself to take one. Ha. So I don't think it's necessarily about disciplining yourself into taking a break. If you feel like you need a break and it would be beneficial for you, then you're really just honoring what you feel you need and what would be good for you. And I would say just do it. Like, just take the steps to do it. The steps to do it would be post to the feed, completely sign off, delete the app, and commit to a date that you'll get to reassess. And then after that, the other thing I'm going to say is the whole time you're off, look for the good that you are getting out of your hiatus. So the joy of missing out. Look for what good things are happening or coming or good things you're feeling because you're taking a break. Always focus on the good when you are creating a new habit. If you sit and focus on, well, I'm bored, I wish I had Instagram because then I wouldn't be bored, you're not going to enjoy your hiatus at all. You're going to be focused on that fear of missing out. We're setting that to the side. We're focusing on the joy of missing out, because I promise you there is so much joy in missing out on social media for a period of time. Get back into your life, your roots, like when you were a kid. Now I'm starting to sound like a old grandma who I love old grandmas and their wisdom. The next one says how to take a Instagram break as a business owner who sells via Instagram. So the first thing I would ask you is, do you actually, so you probably connect and find your customers, find some customers through Instagram, but is that literally your only way? Is your business literally selling things on Instagram? If not, write out a list of all the other ways you sell and focus wholeheartedly on those things. If you have a business that sells on Instagram, write out a creative list of what would happen if Instagram completely decided to shut down their company, and because they control it, they own it, you don't. And I'm not saying I think that's going to happen at all. But what I'm saying is, what are the things that you own, the selling and marketing strategies that you own, that you can really kick into gear now? Because in my opinion, you want to be in control of what you own. You want to be in control of your business. So maybe you start selling on your website, or maybe even before that, you just start going and showing up live in your town to people and selling those things to people. Or you email your friends and say, this is my company. Do you have anyone that you know that could benefit from using this? And you just start connecting to people by referral. You get really creative about how else to sell. And I wouldn't be surprised if you started doing that, that you sell even more. So those are my two cents, my thoughts. I think that's it for what you guys sent in and what you were wondering. But cheers to taking an Instagram break. If you do, I want to know. And in the spirit of being off Instagram, send me an email, paige@paigeschmidt.com, and let me know that you're taking a break. And if you do, I want to hear how it goes. Like, I want to hear all the good that is coming to you because you took a break. And if you have fears, I want you to make a list of things to counteract those fears. So like I said, if you're worried you're going to disappoint someone by not showing up, give yourself permission to disappoint. It's okay. If you are worried that you aren't going to have any customers, come up with a list of all the other ways that you will pour your creative energy into so that you can continue to connect with your customers, continue to have your business. Get creative. When we call ourselves to be creative, we do a really good job, but we need to create the space to do that. I hope you loved this episode. I hope that it inspires those of you who feel like you need to take a social media break to go ahead and give yourself permission to do that. And if you don't feel like you need one, then I hope this was just fun for you to listen to. Have a beautiful week, and I'll see you next week where we're actually going to be starting some interviews on the podcast. Actually, before I go, let me just tell you, I'll be interviewing my counselor, who you've all heard me talk about in my own story. She was one of the first people who helped me to see that if I continued to diet and have these negative thoughts and all this control around what I ate and the size of my body, if I continued that, it would just continue well into my 60s. And really what she meant was for the rest of my life. But she was giving me the perspective that if you don't decide to deal with this now, you're going to be, it's an issue now. You're coming to my office because it feels like an issue. It's not feeling good. You're still going to be dealing with this when you're 65, walking into my office or someone else's office and talking about the same issue. So do you really want to keep struggling with this for the next 40 plus years? And I realized, no, I do not. I don't want to look back 40 years from now and say I struggled with that thing the whole way through. Not at all. I do not. So I dealt with it right then and there. She helped me. She was so impactful. I've also asked my naturopath to come on. Haven't got a confirmation yet if he'll be able to come on or not. I asked a couple other people on Instagram who I think are really going to inspire you. And I've told stories before on other podcasts and on my blog. If you search on my blog, The Woman Who Inspired Me, around my relationship with food and self-care, I will be bringing her on. And I'm going to interview these people and have them share their side of the story I have about them so you can all learn from them and be inspired as well. So such amazing things coming up. I'm so excited to share them with you. And officially, I will see you here next week. Bye-bye for now. Who is your coach? If you don't have one and you're loving this podcast, I'd love to be yours. If you are ready to take what you're learning on this podcast to the next level and apply it to your life, come join me in Aligned Coaching. Highly personalized, hands-on coaching with me, where we will address your challenges, work toward your goals, and you will have a safe space to grow into the you you want to become. You will have weekly group coaching calls with me, 24/7 access to written coaching where you can submit a question directly to me and get a response at any time, and Zoom video hangouts to connect with other women in the community so you can learn from them and super speed your growth. Not only that, but you will also get fresh, new audio content uploaded each and every week, only to be found in Aligned Coaching. Ready to grow into the highest level of yourself and experience freedom like never before? Come join us at paigeschmidt.com/coaching. I'll see you there.